food coma. We'll fight the good fight. So let's go ahead and let's open with a word of prayer. I'm not going to be too long, but we're going to... no yawning. Who's yawning?
Me.
Oh, man. But I want to talk about one of the key things that, you know, this has been a kind of a message that I've been kicking around for a long time and, you know, was thinking about it. And it's one of those ones that it's a short message. So it's kind of perfect for the after potlucks crowd. But it is an important message. We'll get to it here in just a second. But let's go ahead and pray. We'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for our time and an opportunity, Lord, to just worship you by coming to you and receiving instruction from your word. I just thank you for the day. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us this morning and this this afternoon to come to worship you, to enjoy a fellowship one with another, to enjoy food that you've provided for us. And again, Lord, I'm just so grateful and so thankful to be here, and again, just to be around brothers and sisters in Christ, and to just be encouraged and to be edified. And I just pray that this afternoon, as we close out the day, that we'd have this time and opportunity to really truly think about this attitude of heart that you've given to us to do. And again, Lord, I just pray you'd be with me, speak through me. Be with each one of our hearts, that with humbleness of heart and mind, that we would just receive this instruction this afternoon. And these things I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. The title, if you will, is talking about the servant of God, but it's the servant of God, if you will, as a description. The servant of God is gentle. And I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we live in a day and age where, you know, to be honest with you, things are not gentle. You know, we know what the Bible says about the last days. And we know that as things progress, Christ himself said the last days will be like the days of Noah. And when we think about that, that's a pretty harsh statement about how far society and mankind will have degraded themselves. You know, you read over there that it talks about the imaginations of the heart were evil continually. And we see that the world was filled with violence. So here you've got a situation where it's just at every corner, there seems to be harm, there seems to be danger, there seems to be destruction that's going on. And we look at a lot of the things that are going on in the world today, and we do see a lot of that. You know, there's a lot of apprehension. You know, you go to certain places of town, you know, cities and towns, and there's, you know, there always used to be areas that you just didn't go because it was a bad element. Well, nowadays it seems like there's a lot of places that you just don't go because it's just bad. It's just really bad. I mean, you don't go down there. It used to be, I'd have the saying of, I'm not going down there unless I'm armed. Now it's like, I'm not going down there unless I've got a, you know, a body armor and an armored car and at least something, you know, of a caliber that's definitely starting with a four at the front of it. It's amazing to think about how bad things have become, but they get much worse. But the one thing that God tells us as Christians that we need to be is we need to be the opposite of that. And the opposite of that violence and the opposite of that evil mentality is that gentleness of spirit, the gentleness of the Christian. And we find here in 2 Corinthians that as Paul's talking to this church, and this church has got a lot of problems. We know the church at Corinth has got a lot of issues. This is the second letter that he's had to send to them. There's, you know, three. There's one that was also referenced, you know, in these passages. So they've had multiple letters sent to them. And you know, there's always those little memes that are running around that, that talk about if Paul was to write a letter to the church of of America, it'd be like, ooh, it'd be far worse than what we read here. But what we find in this passage and in 2 Corinthians 10 in verse 1 says, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. Now there's a lot that he's going to go into in this chapter, and we're not going to cover that, but I want to cover what he's talking about here in this passage. And we've talked a lot about meekness before. We've talked about what meekness really is. But gentleness is something that is often not talked about and preached about. You know, you get into a lot of churches and, you know, gentleness is not something that a lot of people use and exercise. There are some churches that, man, they're just harsh. They're just brutal. And, you know, sometimes they're just rude. And that's not what we're called to be. We're called to be gentle. You know, if we're followers of Christ, we're going to follow what Christ did. And here he's saying very specifically about this meekness and gentleness of Christ. You know, if there's one thing that I saw in the Gospels was that there was a continual gentleness with Christ. And everybody reminds, you know, hey, you know, he did get zealous there and was overturning the money changers' tables and driving people out, you know, with the cords that he, you know, I get all of that. I also get Nehemiah 13, where Nehemiah kind of, you know, grabs people by the hair and threatens to lay hands on people and throws things out in the yard and stuff. I get that. I totally understand that. But those are rare exceptions. They should never be the standard. The standard is the gentleness. The way that Christ responded. Now, he responded firmly. And he's responded, you know, with the standards of God. And that's where, you know, some of the anger came. But again, you know, one of my favorite miracles that I talk about is over there in the book of Mark, where he starts talking about the man with the withered hand, and he looks on them with anger, but he doesn't act on that anger. And with gentleness, he heals a man that had that withered hand. And I look at that and I see that throughout scriptures. I see that even in the Old Testament. You know, a lot of people compare what they say is, well, the God of the New Testament is different than the God of the Old Testament. No, he's not. There's the attribute of God that is very clear. And that is what is referred to as immutability, which means he doesn't change. He's always the same. He there may be differences in some things, the way he deals with mankind. I totally get that. Everybody should understand that. But God is God, and he doesn't change. We change. We change our behaviors. I mean, you know, beforehand, many people, you know, before they get married, they have a totally different personality than after they get married. 10 years after they're married, they're a little different. Things happen. Things change. We were just talking about this, you know, youth and vigor versus wisdom and things of that nature. Let's think about it. 20 years ago, man, we were different people. Sitting there thinking back to when I was 21 years old, kind of glad I'm not that same guy. But when we think about this, just briefly, here Paul is beseeching and using, if you will, the character of Christ and who he is to implore these people to make a change for the Lord. And the big part of this is the gentleness that we're looking at. Because what we find is that gentleness is one of the characteristics of our God. He, you know, people talk about how harsh God is, and trust me, when it comes to sin, God will judge sin. It's just the way he is. He will judge sin, and he will judge it accordingly, and he will judge it according to his standards and his ways. And we find throughout scripture, he exercises his wrath righteously. But aren't you glad he's very gentle with you? And how gentle he is with you in your growth, and how he treats us. There's the gentleness of Christ. And it's part of who he is. Because if you go over to the book of Galatians, and let's go over to Galatians chapter 5, I mean, that's a very clear understanding of what God is doing with us and what he uses his Holy Spirit to do. And I will say this, you know, sometimes we talk about how the Holy Spirit gets to us, and we'll talk about that piercing, and we'll talk about how the Holy Spirit uses that sword to really pierce into us and to make those changes as Hebrews talks about. But you know what? He does it very gently. He does it very gently. It's the character and the nature of God. Because we find here in this passage in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit with a capital S. Well, who is that? That's God. That's the Holy Spirit. This is one of the things that Holy Spirit does. He bears fruit for us to receive. That fruit that we receive is in turn supposed to be exemplified in our life. These are things that we're supposed to be doing. And we see in this passage in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Everybody's like, okay, we understand love. We have to exemplify love. We've been talking about it in 1 John. Love is an important principle. We get that. Joy. Everybody wants joy. Everybody wants joy. It's something that's important in people's lives. The world seeks to try to find real joy. They don't find real joy. They may find a moment of happiness, but it's fleeting. Okay? Peace. The world wants peace, but they're never going to get peace because peace and righteousness have kissed each other. In order to have peace, you have to have righteousness. And that means the elimination of sin. You cannot have sin and expect to have a peaceful lifestyle. Doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. Long-suffering. Self-explanatory. Sometimes you got to suffer long. Well, how long is long? Well, how long has God dealt with the nation of Israel? How long did he have them do what they did before he put them into captivity? And interestingly enough, he's still going to be true to his promise. He still loves them. And they're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. So there's that. So as we look at this, and we, you know, it becomes pretty clear, long suffering is, these are characteristics of God. And then there's gentleness, the next one. And when people start quoting the fruit of the Spirit, they get to the first four, right? They talk about the love, joy, peace, long suffering, and then they just kind of like mumble over, you know. Because gentleness is something that really takes effort. Brute strength always seems to be our default, doesn't it? Oh man, you can just, you know, it's really easy to let your flesh win, and you walk up, and when somebody just does something, you just smack them across the face. Let's just have a slap session. Mike, I think we need to arrange that. I think we need to have a good old Baptist slap out, you know? No. We are not doing that in this church, okay? Being facetious here. Why is that? Because it's not godly.
Right.
So what do we have to do? We got to be gentle.
Yeah.
And the evidence of God working in your life is the determination that you use to be gentle with what you do.
Oh, that's good.
I want you to think about that for a moment. If I'm being gentle with something, I have to hold back. You ever accidentally maybe be too harsh with a dog?
Yeah.
You're not intending to, and you mess up, and and you do something. And like the other day, Rolo being Rolo, fastest tongue in the West. I'm sitting down on the couch because any other chair just is uncomfortable. This is a comfortable chair. Just going to let you know. So I'm sitting down on the couch because the other chair is just a little too much for me right now. I'm sitting down and something, I get a notification on my phone. I look at my phone. Brolo sees his opportunity. I got the Costco chicken rotisserie right there.
Amen.
Yeah. And guess what he does? Licks my chicken leg. Yeah. I had to take that piece of chicken off and set it to the side. I did not give it to him because I did not want to reward the bad behavior. But I pushed him aside and he made the little yelp. Well, I wasn't trying to be harsh. I was just trying to move him away so he didn't like bite the whole thing and carry it off, which is what Daisy would have done. But, you know, I wanted to just gently move him. But again, I just reacted and my force was too hard. And he may let out a little yip. He wasn't hurt or anything. I think it scared him. But I'll tell you this. Here's what happens. When we do something like that, we always go, "Ooh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that." Gentleness is where we hold that back. And we distinctly say, okay, I'm not going to be impulsive. I'm not going to be reactionary. I'm not going to be that person. And I'm going to hold those things back so that I respond godly. Spiritually mature Christians are gentle. This is what we see from Scripture. We don't give in to the other things. We're not conformed to this world as we talked about this morning. We're conformed to the characters of Christ. Well, here's Paul exemplifying. Go over to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. You know, the Thessalonican, is that a word? Church of Thessalonians? It's the taco kicking in is what that is. The church at Thessalonica, there we go. They were a difficult lot for Paul, but they held a special place in his heart. They were filled with all sorts of idolatry. They were filled with all sorts of stuff that was obviously way against God. They had a lot of questions. They had a lot of resistance at first. And you know what Paul didn't do? He didn't walk in with a Bible and crack them upside the head. He didn't walk in with a 2x4 and say, now's the time to, slap people upside the head with it. He made it very clear. Because in chapter 2, I want you to see this. In chapter 2, verse 7, here's what he says with them. He says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. I will tell you this, obviously this nurse, if you will, is in the care of the children, kind of a nanny type situation. Those are things that we don't necessarily have nowadays, but I'll tell you this, if you've ever seen a pediatric nurse, generally they're some of the most caring nurses you've ever seen. And it takes a real special person to be able to work with children.
Yes, sir. That's right.
It really does. And it's a God-given ability, in my opinion. You're like, well, everybody should be that way. Well, everybody should be, but not everybody is. But I'll tell you this, when you have your own kids, you realize, oh, man. And you hold that little one for the first time, and you realize, oh, man, my world just changed. You're gentle with that child. You're gentle. That's how we need to treat each other. That's how we need to be as a body of Christ. Gentle. And we see this here, and he says, look, we're gentle with you. Because gentleness takes patience. Gentleness takes meekness. Gentleness takes real, true compassion and care. You know, while I was in the hospital last year, I had a lot of nurses. A lot of nurses. And as a matter of fact, one of them made a joke and said, if you're going to be a nurse on the sixth floor, at some point in time, you have to take care of Ken. And I'm like, I don't know how I feel about being the rite of passage for a nurse, but okay. the guy said what he said. He said it in all good humor and care. And I had some real gentle nurses. Some nurses that truly cared. I had a couple that were a little on the aggressive side. And I've had that before. But it's the gentle nurses that you really, really, truly remember because of the care that they give. And here's what Paul's saying. He's saying this is how we approached it. You know, when a baby's around and the baby's sitting there sleeping and quiet, what happens? There's a hush. People are quiet. They understand that. There's not a lot of yelling and screaming. And teach the other children that are around to what? To be gentle with the child. Things of that nature. I'm going to throw my brother under the bus on this one. When I showed up to the family, my brother had no idea how to behave around me. And he'd look at me and he'd watch me sleeping. And he'd just like, oh, he's sleeping. And then he'd just smack me upside the head.
Just recent?
My brother has grown since then. but I'll tell you this. You know, he was a child, okay? He wasn't, I mean, you know, he's only a year and some months older than me. So he didn't understand that. He didn't grasp that concept. And then I would cry, and then mom would be like, what are you doing? Stop. You know, you don't smack the baby. You know, things like that. But sometimes you got to teach the child how to behave, right? How to behave around the other children. And that's a responsibility of a parent. It's responsibility of a pastor. We got to teach you. And look, it's responsibility of each one of us as we teach each other. We got to teach each other how to be gentle. Because we're all of the same body. When you're injured and when you're hurt, you know what you do? You take care of yourself. You're gentle. You don't make sudden movements purposefully. And when you do make those movements, guess what happens? Your body tells you, don't do that. And then what happens? You try to be more gentle. Gentleness must be purposed in the heart of every believer to do. Because of the example of Christ. Take a look over at 2 Timothy here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2, you know, he talks about in verse 2 about faithful men and using those individuals and teaching them and things of that nature. And he talks about servants. And while this is, if you will, referred to as a pastoral epistle, it is something that we as believers need to follow after these examples. Just because a pastor we're not a pastor, does not mean that we skip over these things. These are things that God expects of every believer, not just pastors, okay? And we get here to verse 24 in this passage, after he's just told them to flee youthful lusts, as he's told them to avoid those foolish and unlearned questions. But here's what he says. And if you consider yourself a servant of the Lord, pay attention. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Don't get involved in fights. Don't get involved in fights. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach patience. Patient. But be gentle unto all men. It's not our instinct. It's not what we default to. We default to the opposite. We default to, somebody hurts me, I'm going to hurt you back. As I've said before, I am not the guy you prank. I don't do pranks. I mean, I have done pranks, but I've done them on people that have deserved them. I know, I'm justifying myself in this, just let me do it. And they did deserve it. But I will tell you this, I always say this, don't prank me. Because I will execute the prank back to you tenfold. I'm just kind of that guy. And it'll be the last prank you ever pull, because you never want to pull another one where somebody does what I'll do. And you know what that is? That's my pride. That's my pride kicking in and saying, well, I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to have this happen to me. I'm not going to do, that's me. That's not the right spirit with which I need to approach situations. Because you look, you know, somebody harms me and my family, you know, I've said before, I'm the type of person that I will burn everything to the ground in revenge. I'll make sure that that person and whoever else was ever related to them, I'll make them hurt, because that's what humans do, right? That's what the flesh does. That's what our pride does. But that's not right. Now, I'm not talking about a self-defense situation, but I'm talking about executing vengeance. And you know what God's saying here? God's saying we got to be gentle. We have to be very gentle with each other. This is what a servant of God does. You want to know how to be a faithful servant? Be gentle. Be gentle. Remember the harsh servant? The one that was forgiven so much, and then he turned around and was violent towards the other guy that owed him money? And that master turned that individual over to the what? The tormentors. We got to be careful we don't wind up in that situation. I don't know what the tormentors would look like in our life currently. And I understand there's the implication about hell in that. I totally understand that. But I also believe there's an application to us right now. That sometimes the torment that we go through in life is because of our own infliction. Because of what we do. And not being gentle. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, here he is, he's saying the servant of the Lord must be gentle. And I want to clarify here, he's gentle unto all men. You know what that means? That means the unbeliever out there. Not just the body of Christ, not just our little congregation, but unto everyone that's out there. We as believers have to be gentle to this world. And I'll tell you this, that will set you apart. That will make you look peculiar, which is what we're supposed to be, by the way. That somebody would look at that and say, why did they respond that way? And you say, because that's the way that the Lord responds to me. That's the way the Lord works with me, my life. Titus chapter 3. Take a look here at what he says in verse 1. He says, put in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, obey magistrates, be ready to every good work. You know, again, here's another example of God saying, you know what? There's authorities over you. You may not like the authorities that are over you, but you still got to obey them. You may not like them. You may have some disagreements with how they run things. I totally get it. There are some things that I just like, oh, and I groan. Yeah. Do you know what? Just let the Lord handle it. They're going to have to answer to the Lord. And if we suffer persecution because of it, because we choose to do the right thing, then so be it. Just think about what Jesus Christ suffered for us. And that'll put it into perspective. Take a look at verse 2. Here he is. He says, to speak evil of no man. Got to be careful with what you say about other people. Amen. Be careful about what you say about other people. Because I'll tell you this. God does not like people that are talebearers, backbiters, gossipers, anybody of that nature. We talked about that in James chapter 3. Be very careful. That's dangerous territory. But take a look at this. To be no brawlers. You know, I often thought about brawlers, and I always thought about this, and I was like, you know, I wonder where that word came from, brawl. And I started looking it up. You understand brawl is not what we think it is? You know, back when we were in the gym over there, you know, you remember Rocco, and he'd love to wrestle, and he'd do that, and he'd wrestle some of us and stuff like that. And he tried to wrestle me one time, found out I didn't go down that easy, but then he found my weakness. I'm ticklish. So there's Rocco on my back trying to tickle me as I'm walking around the gym with him on my back. It was hilarious. But you know what? That's not a brawl. You know what brawl really is about? Words. Fight words. Got to be careful. But look at this. To be no brawlers, but gentleness, or but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. But gentle. Our words, our actions shouldn't be part of this violent culture that we live in today. It should be a gentle culture. Why? Because Christ is so gentle with us. I mean, you really, honestly, one of the things that you truly need to do is if you go back and you start taking a look, and I've got, you know, sermons kicking around about this, but you would take a look back at some of the Psalms. Psalm 105 is an example. You go over there and it talks about remembering the good things of God, and it starts off that Psalm 105 with this. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And you know what giving thanks unto the Lord includes? Remembering what God has done for you. Because God remembers all the promises he gives to us. And I say all of that to say this, is that if we remember how gentle God has been with us in our lives, that should inspire us to be a lot more gentle in our life to others around us. Because here's the interesting thing. I want you to see something that David says. He says this twice. And I want you to go to 2 Samuel. I want you to take a look at this. 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel chapter 22. I'm far enough away from anything that Mike's working on in 1 Samuel, so we're good. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And I want you to see this. Here's David talking about the Lord. And it's referred to as a psalm of thanksgiving. And we find it over there a little bit in a similar passage in Psalm chapter 18. But I'm going to read this for the sake of time, just this one. Psalm chapter, in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and in verse 36. Thou, he's talking about God. He's talking about the Lord. Thou hast also given me thy shield of salvation. That's a great shield to hide behind. When the devil starts hurling things at you, guess what? It's always good to go back and remember your salvation. Remember what you were saved from and remember what you're saved unto. That is a shield that will stop those darts. But here he says, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Violence doesn't make you great. Violence doesn't make you great. We all have seen some of this. You see some of those guys that they fight for a living, whether it's boxing, UFC, MMA, kickboxing, whatever it is. And you always see those ones where these guys are just so violent that they won't even acknowledge their opponent. They won't even acknowledge that it's just a simple contest. They have just so much hate in their heart towards another person that they're going to pound that person into oblivion. You know what often happens with that? They get humbled really quick. They get humbled really quick. I've seen fight after fight after fight where people have done things and the end result was the guy that was humble, the guy that knew it was just a contest, the guy that knew that at the end of this, they were still going to kind of be friends, even though they were opponents. I tell you what, that guy that didn't do that, the guy that didn't handshake, the guy that didn't fist bump at the beginning, those are the guys that usually wind up on their face. Why is that? Because the Lord has a great way of humiliating a person. And when I talk about humility, humiliation, I'm talking about humility. I'm not talking about, you know, what we would often think of about humiliation and shame. But I'm talking about the Lord will humble you. If you won't humble yourself, God will humble you. That's not a place you want to be. Learn the lessons. You know what made David great? God's gentleness in his life. And you know what? David had a lot of problems in his life. He made a lot of missteps. But isn't it amazing how good gentle God was with him? What makes a person great is the gentleness of God in our lives. And you wonder why David, even though he was a bloody man and he did execute some justice and some vengeance on behalf of the Lord, I'll tell you this, he still understood how to be gentle. Even when he had somebody throwing rocks and stones at him, cursing him, he's like, just let him do it. Just let him do it. His men were like, they took offense for him. Careful with that.
Yeah.
Careful with that. Don't take offense for another person.
Right.
You'll get rebuked. And David rebuked his mighty men. He said, don't. I need this. Just like Paul needed that thorn to keep him humble. David needed a rock thrower and a curser to keep him humble. But you know what? Out of all of that, out of all the things that David could talk about, what made him great was it was the gentleness of God. He didn't talk about the power. He didn't talk about the might. He talked about the gentleness of God. He says the same thing over there in Psalm chapter 18, verse 35. The same thing. And I want to close with this one last one, James chapter 3. And this is something that we know because we've been going through James chapter 3. When we talk about wisdom, and we talk about how wisdom is executed and how wisdom is brought about in our lives and what we need to do with wisdom. But the one thing that we saw when we looked at wisdom that is from God is it's very clear in this regard. The wisdom of God is not violent. The wisdom of God is not blunt and brutal. It's caring and gentle. I had this individual that was putting in one of my IV starts for a CT scan. And he's putting it in. He begins to boast about himself because I said, I'm a hard IV stick. My veins are very deceptive. They may look like they're on the surface, but they're down there pretty deep. And they are not friendly. They will move. They will roll. They will do everything in the world, you know, to prevent themselves from being stuck. And he begins to boast about himself. Well, I'm the second best in the clinic. I'm like, really? All right. Well, let's see what you do, second best. Second best in the clinic. Guess what he does? He hits my radial nerve. My ulnar nerve had already been hit by the one pick placement a long time ago. Now he hits it on the same arm. So now I've got, you know, numbing sensation on both sides of my hands. I'm like, why don't we just hit the midline just to get it just completely, you know. Let's just cover the whole thing, right? He hits it the first stick. I'm like, okay, second best. He tries again and he misses again. Thankfully, he didn't hit the nerve again. And he goes, oh, I'm going to call the guy that's the best. All right, best, let's see what you got. Best comes in and he tries it. Misses. And he looks at me and he goes, well, we're only going to stick you four times. Only four times, thank you. And he's like, so if this one doesn't get, and I'm sitting there, Lord, guide that needle. Bam, he gets it. Well, congratulations, best, you did better. These are the guys that are the best. I go into another building for this, you know, same clinic group, and I go in, warn them, hard IV stick, and she goes, oh no. I'm like, what? She said, I don't know. Well, let me take a look and we'll see. She said, I might have to call somebody else because I just don't have confidence that I can get this right the first time. I'm like, well, thank you for your honesty. And I told her about what second best and best did. And she goes, oh, you don't have to worry about that. She says, I'm the worst. Why, Lord, why? And I'm sitting there. She goes, well, I'm going to try. And I'm like, oh, here we go. And I'm waiting. She goes, okay. It's done. What? I didn't even feel it go in. I'm like, worst, you're hired. You know what the difference is? How gentle. How gentle. And she walked in and she knew exactly. And it wasn't about confidence in herself. It wasn't about what she knew. It wasn't about like what the other guy was of like, I've done this so many times. I'm the best, and the second best or whatever. The boasting. You know what she did? She used wisdom. She took what she heard. She learned. She listened. And she used gentleness. That is one of the few times I went into the same clinic to get another CT scan and same situation, except she was behind doing it this time and her coworker was there and I told her what had happened the first time and she goes, oh no. She said, I'm kind of like her. I'm not good at this. I'm like, oh no. Guess what? Same thing. I didn't even feel it. Like best and best and second best were horrible. Worst and second worst are hired. Because they were gentle. There's a big difference behind that. And there's a big difference when we use the wisdom of God instead of our own wisdom and our own thoughts and our own will and our own desires. Because in James chapter 3 verse 17 it says this, but the wisdom that is from above is what? Is first pure, then peaceable, and then what happens? Gentleness. Gentle. This is what the wisdom of God does. It's gentle. While the Word of God is compared to as a sword to cut things out, to really pierce into, it's something that God does gently in our lives. There's gentle conviction sometimes. A lot of times it's gentle conviction. A lot of times it's just sitting there in a church service and hearing something and going, oof. A lot of times it's just sitting there reading your Bible, and as you read, you just go, ooh. Sometimes it's just meditating and thinking about what God has done for you and just going, oh. Versus having somebody come up and point their finger in our face and going, thou art the man. Aren't you glad God's gentle in your life? I praise God all day long for that. Because I have not always been that way. But I'll tell you this. The wisdom of God is gentle. This Word of God is gentle in our lives. And if we use it the way that it is intended to be, gentle, we use the fruit of the Spirit the way it's intended to be, gentle, we will exemplify that gentleness of Christ Paul talks about. That's our standard, by the way, Jesus Christ. That's what we should be. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time. I thank you again, Lord, for just showing us a simple message. And Lord, I just pray that we would take this and heed it this afternoon. That, Lord, you'd work in our lives to be gentle, continually reminding us of how gentle you are with us. That, Lord, we'd be gentle unto all men to show that gentleness that you have with us. I thank you again, Lord, for those that are here this afternoon. Pray you take us home safely. And Lord, being throughout this week, Lord, we just pray for that grace and mercy that you continually give us. We pray for that gentleness and that goodness and that kindness that you demonstrate to us, Lord. And I pray that we would just be humble throughout it, that we would seek you and seek your face through all things. That, Lord, we'd use that transform power to use our bodies the way you designed them to be, to think the way that you want us to think, and to say the things that are according to your will. I thank you again, Lord, for all that you've done this day. May we be glorified throughout all of this as we use it to please you. And this I ask in your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.